You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1635. Etalon Diagnostics CEO Krista Lafayette discusses the genetics of kissing spines in horses. This episode is an excerpt from the Horses in the Morning show, and it was originally posted in 2022. And today's show is brought to you by Sentinel Horse Nutrition. Sentinel Horse Feed knows you share a unique bond with your horse and that you do anything to keep them happy and healthy, including having their teeth taken care of. Just like you're dedicated to your horse's well-being, Sentinel Horse Nutrition's expert nutritionists are dedicated to creating feed that supports their health. To learn more or find a dealer near you, visit Sentinel Horse Nutrition at feedsentinel.com/podcast. That's feedsentinel.com/podcast.
I'm proud to bring on Krista Lafayette, the CEO of Etalon Diagnostics. She has been doing some kissing spine research, and we've kind of followed along with the journey a little bit here on Horses in the Morning. Krista, thank you for joining us.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys participating in this. I think it's really nice of you to give me credit for this whole study, but I have to tell you, there's quite a few folks involved.
Well, I do remember back several years ago, you were asking for actual x-rays, radiographs from horses that had it. And a while later, I ended up getting a horse with kissing spine, and I was going to send you those. And you were like, we're good. We have enough horses with it. We need horses that don't have it.
So that would have to do with the different breeds. So oddly enough, one of the things that we're finding in this study is that we have an incredibly difficult time finding aged thoroughbreds that are negative for kissing spines, and we're not sure why.
Well, my next question was why? I need answers.
Well, we don't know. I mean, is it because there aren't any thoroughbreds out there that are negative for kissing spines, or is it because people don't x-ray the backs of aged thoroughbreds? We don't know.
Yeah. So you go through all of it, break it down for us and kind of tell, and I'll have follow up questions.
Okay. So you want me to talk about like what the paper means and where the research is?
Yeah.
Is that, clarify,
what did you guys find? I know there the article on horse.com came out and I have read through that, but I want you to explain to the listeners what you decided to do and why you did it and what you found out.
Okay. All right. Well, so kissing spines, as you know, is a condition where the vertebral, the top parts of the spinal column on the horse begin to bend together and rub, causing discomfort and degradation, right? Nobody likes kissing spines. And unfortunately, you only find out about kissing spines when you try to saddle up or when you x-ray the back and there's extreme pain. And oftentimes it is undiagnosed for a long time. It's very expensive to find out about. And then there are surgical solutions, which may or may not work, depending on the veterinarian, the horse, the condition, so on and so forth. And no one is really sure what exactly causes kissing spines. Some think it's some sort of osteodegradation. Some people think it's connective tissue. But we're not entirely sure what the mechanism is behind it. We do suspect strongly that there are lots of things that contribute to kissing spines, and only one of those things would be genetic. So we took it upon ourselves to gather a bunch of samples of horses with confirmed cases of kissing spines, and we confirmed them through radiographs. We collected samples, veterinary reports, and these radiographs, and then had a couple of different vets. Dr. Bo Whitaker led the effort there to read the radiographs independently to make sure they were all scored the same. And then we took a look at these horses' genetics. And what we found were horses that had kissing spines at a specific degree or greater happened to have this variant type. And the variant that we found that correlates with the condition of kissing spines, if you have one copy, you will have a higher grade of kissing spines. If you have two copies, you'll have a 2-grade on average higher affected type of kissing spines. And so what this means, this initial study, is that A, this is only an initial study for a correlation for higher grade kissing spines, and B, we still have part two of the study to do to see if we can find an actual genetic causative. It's really, really important to understand that this variant that we have published is not a causative as far as we know. And in other words, it doesn't, that variant does not cause you to have kissing spines. It indicates there's a correlation between a higher grade of kissing spines and this variant. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. So basically they can have it, but it might not happen. Is that right?
Right. And you have to think about, the real big difference here, what's dangerous sometimes in the genetic world is people see a gene and a disease or a gene and a trait, and they immediately assume the gene causes or results in the trait. That's not necessarily true. You'll see correlations with what we call risk alleles. And that's where an animal or a person has a specific variant, and it is often highly correlated with another condition, but we don't know what that relationship is. So think about diabetes. You know that diabetes can come from a lot of different things. You know that certain people are at a higher risk for diabetes than others. You know that if your parents contracted diabetes at a later age, it's probably not wise of you to sit on the couch and binge on Netflix and eat potato chips for the entire 2 years of the COVID problem, because you're going to weigh 400 pounds and you're going to have diabetes.
Right.
You're predisposed. Whereas your best friend might be sitting on the couch next to you. Their parents don't have diabetes. They also are eating potato chips and binging on Netflix with you. They weigh 400 pounds and they don't have it.
That doesn't seem fair. So it's almost like if you were to think about, you know, where people test for EPM, you know, have they been exposed? They test the blood, and yes, they have been exposed, but if you test the spinal fluid, they don't actually have it. So they just have the predisposition to maybe have it, but they don't actually have it. So that's what your study kind of showed. And the question would be, what can we do about it? Do they stop breeding the horses that have, you know, the genetic markers, or what?
Well, I think you'd want to think about it in a way that mitigates risk, right? Let's say you get a horse and you test it and it is at high risk for kissing spines. Well, maybe you don't run around with your head up in the air, you know, with in a saddle seat type conformation with that horse. Maybe instead you spend some more time with dressage exercises, build up those back muscles. Take special care, make sure that saddle fits properly, and maybe you want to x-ray the back a little more frequently, you know, every 5 years or something. Mm-hmm. If you know a horse is at high risk for kissing spines, you not only want to develop those back muscles and watch that condition so you don't get ouchy one day when you put a saddle on, you might also think, all right, I'm dying to have a foal out of this mare or this stallion. They're at high risk for kissing spines. Let's test the other horse that I'm going to breed them to and make sure they're not also high risk, doubling up the risk in the foal.
Okay. So my frustration has been a lot with thoroughbreds and having the kissing spine. And there's mm-hmm. typical kind, not typical, but there's behavioral patterns I've noticed with horses that I'm like, oh, this probably is a thing. And two of them, the vets were like, This is not, you can't do anything for this horse. You know, like one of them in two places, the spine had actually grown together. And so is something mm-hmm. like this, do you think, because they are predisposed and then they're started at a year old and they throw riders on them at such a young age, is that causing more of it in thoroughbreds?
Well, we can only guess at this point, because although we had some wonderful, wonderful help from the thoroughbred rescue organizations and a lot of you awesome thoroughbred people, we don't have a large enough population from the track to know. And that's what we're working on, right? So there are probably multiple things contributing to kissing spines, any one of which could be exacerbated by early racehorse training. But we don't know that, and it's kind of unsafe to guess without having the evidence, right? It's tempting. So we could say, all right, well, we know kissing spines comes in various forms at different ages, so we can probably guess that there's probably some part genetic, some part nutritional, and some part training, right? Mm-hmm. And how much each of these things influences the development of kissing spines, we can't really know without growing the evidence quite a bit bigger than we have, which is what we're working on at this point. Fortunately, horse people are awesome about this kind of thing. Sort of what you were saying, you notice things in your horses and you say, oh gosh, this horse does this and this horse does that. It's probably a thing. It's probably hereditary. It's probably what you're thinking. And you're probably right. And that is why we work with the horse people, because like working together, you guys tell us what you see and provide the samples and the phenotype and the evidence, and we do the science together. We'll find this stuff. We'll find the answers. It'll take a little bit longer in some cases, but why not do it if we can?
Right.
So that's what we're doing.
So I had a horse. I got a thoroughbred when I was 10, and I had him until I was 28, and he was 26.
Wow.
And I rode that horse every day, most of his entire life. And if you're saying that so many older thoroughbreds have this, you know, I always thought he was, I think back on the things I did to this poor creature, that, like, you know, as a horse person now, like, I'm going to gallop you bareback and I'm going to jump the hedge, you know, like things like that.
Yep.
But he was always so
yep.
willing and good. And knowing how many older thoroughbreds now have it, why can we ride them then? Are they just tolerant to pain? Do they, some of them not? I don't know. I mean, this one was a particular saint, but why can we ride them without them killing us if their backs
hurt? Well, so there's another piece to kissing spines, right? That's really, really frustrating to try and tease apart. Our sample population is based largely on radiographs and animals that had surgery. But we also know from the control animals that we pulled, there are animals out there who radiographically have kissing spines and show no symptoms. Why? We don't know. We don't know if they're just stoic or if they don't experience the pain. And this happens with all kinds of conditions. I'm sure you've heard of cases out there, people walking around with broken ankles and whatnot, and they didn't even know it. It was sore, but they're fine. But it turns out, hey, it was fractured.
Oh, yeah.
People
I
have
had a broken foot for 3 months.
Pain tolerances instead of horses. Right? And you're annoyed by it, but you don't think much of it. And then if you actually go and get an x-ray, you go, oh, who knew?
Wow.
But we don't know if it's a pain tolerance thing or if it's just undiscovered or if we don't know.
I think I was just being an idiot. But yeah, I get it. Get out of my house, Krista. So where do we go from here then before we run out of time? Where do we go? And then how can people continue to help you?
We are continuing to try to unravel this mystery because of the situation with the lack of really clean thoroughbred samples and a large enough pool. Rather than put data out there about thoroughbreds that could be a little wishy-washy based on the numbers, we went ahead and did the first publication on stock horses and warm bloods because we had those in spades, lots and lots and lots of the samples. Thanks in large part to Brazos Valley Equine, you know, Dr. Bo Whitaker, and then of course in Virginia, Kent Allen, and all of our veterinary friends and all of our thoroughbred rescues. We did have a good sample set to begin with. We had an overwhelming great sample set for warm bloods and stock horses, but we still are looking at those thoroughbreds. And so we're going to probably release an announcement in the next 6 months of Kissing Spines Part 3. And that's where we're going to look at A, more samples of thoroughbreds if we can get them, and B, we're going to start to tease out the differences between horses who radiographically have kissing spines and do not need medical intervention, because that's probably going to make a pretty big difference. As we go forward, we will probably find more genes that influence this condition. It's likely not one thing. It's going to be probably quite a few more than that. And it will take time.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you so much for, and please let us know. Keep us posted. I find this fascinating and it's affected so many of us that please keep us up to date and let us know how we can help you in the future.
We will definitely do that. We so appreciate you guys. You're a fantastic resource for this kind of research and we'll include you on the updates. I think we're going to add the kissing spines risk into the Build a Horse pipeline to help people avoid breeding horses with those genetic risks. And we'll update you guys on that as we go forward. But
yes,
anytime y'all have questions, don't hesitate.
That's what I was thinking. Like, do we annotate papers that are thoroughbreds that are being bred? And like, you look, I don't want one of his offspring because it's potential, you know, how far down the road can we get this? We shall see.
We will see. We'll do everything we can, and we are stubborn because we're horse people. We'll get there.
Thank you, Krista.
Thanks, Krista. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care. Have a great day.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.